We're close to the Lord Jesus. Bob and Judy Christian are still with us tonight, and Bob turned in a thank you note here. That's thanking us for our thoughts and prayers and cards during Chris's illness and homegoing. Says we love and appreciate you, the Christian and Watley family. And of course, we had a memorial service for Chris here also. And we thank you, Bob, for that note. With Brother Herman's funeral today, Brother Chad Stanley drove all the way in from Georgia to be with us because he was pretty close to Brother Herman. And we're going to ask him to come bring the message tonight. He helped me this morning in the funeral service. I think Brother Herman would have liked that. And we appreciate Brother Chad and the ministry he has up there in the Waycross, Georgia. A Countryside Baptist doing a great job. And Brother Chad, come on as the Lord leads you tonight.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Amen. Take your Bibles, find with me, if you would, Acts chapter number 9. Preacher, thank you for the privilege to be able to stand in your pulpit and preach. It's it is a privilege, and I appreciate it. And I told him today, I said, preacher, I said, please don't think that just because I'm here I need to preach. I'd like to sit and listen to you. And he said, no, I want you to. And it's a privilege, amen. And I don't take that lightly. And can I share just a few things before we get in the message? I was here in November and was able to have part in a conference, and I shared about the container of Bibles we were sending to the Philippines, to Brother Michael Trumpo and many a national pastors there. And we were able to get those Bibles there, 15,000 King James Bibles, then 50,000 King James New Testaments. And Brother Trumpo, I want to tell you something about your missionary. Brother Trumpo is worthy every single penny of your support. He's worthy. And you couldn't ask for somebody to organize and plan as much as he did. Over 100 pastors cooperated in 7 days. They planned and scheduled, and they had me preach 25 times in 7 days. And in 7 days, over 500 people received Christ as their Savior. And boy, what a blessing. And one of the things they begged for before we left, I got to preach to the governor of the state and the vice governor, which Brother Trumpo lives in. The vice governor got saved in one of the services. Before I left, the vice governor, as well as one of the mayors in one of the large towns in the north, cities in the north, they said, we have a question. And I said, what is it? They were very appreciative of the Bibles and the Word of God. And they said, when will you be back with more? And I said, well, all I can do is ask and trust God. And I said, but I'll make you a commitment. If God will supply, we'll send them. And I got back and shared that testimony with the Bible print ministry in Shelbyville, Tennessee. And they said, Brother Stanley, we'll print you another 30,000 King James Bibles to send at the end of this year if you'll go back with them. And so pray about that. Pray that God would supply and just many, many souls being saved. Amen. And it is a joy to be here. I was glad. It was a privilege. Thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother Wallace, for allowing me to have part in your dad's service. I don't take that lightly. And we were coming, no matter what. I wanted to be here because I love Brother Herman. And I love Miss Bonnie, and I love that family. And I didn't get a chance to share this morning. I thought about it, but I just didn't feel like God was leading. And I want to be obedient to Him. But how many of you know what I'm talking about when I mention this word, Hermanology? What I'm talking about is Brother Herman had his own way of things, amen. And he had some sayings, and some that stuck. And can I share this with you? I'm sure some of you knew him real well, including preacher, found this out. You and I can't repeat everything Brother Herman would say. Not all of us could get away with saying some of the things that Brother Hill would say. Amen. I remember when we were laying a lot of carpet and doing things and got a chance to work with him a lot. And I'd ask him about dealing with people because he dealt with a lot of folks in church and things, helping with building projects with preacher. And he was good handling problem people, what I call problem people, amen. People just want to gripe about everything you do, but they don't want to do anything themselves and that kind of thing. And I there weren't nobody like that here. Amen. But I'd ask, Brother Hill, I said, how do you deal with all that? And he said, it's easy. I got this philosophy. I said, what is it? He said, I tell them if they don't like what I'm doing, go out there in the yard and get two sticks, build a bridge, and get over it. And he would tell me that all the time, and I'd get frustrated with somebody, and he'd say, tell them, go get two sticks. So when I started pastoring my first church, I thought that was good enough for Brother Hill, and that helped him. That'll help me in some situations. It did not help, amen. It didn't help at all. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter number 9, and I love Brother Hill and Miss Bonnie, the Hill family, all of them. Can I ask you to do this? Because I know our preacher will not ask you to do it. Will you pray for Pastor and Sister Sonia Carter? So many times a pastor and his family, God does something special sometimes in a pastor's heart with some people. A pastor loves all his people, but there's some people that God just knits a pastor's heart together with. And God does something special with them as a team. And sometimes it's God creates a bond there. And sometimes we're good about praying for family, and you ought to pray for the Hill family. But sometimes we overlook the brokenness and the loneliness and the hurt of the pastor and his family. And so we just pray for them. The pastor tries to be strong for everybody, and Miss Carter tries to be strong for everybody. But can I challenge you as a church? You're a good church, but would you be strong for them? Would you keep them before the Lord and ask God, Lord, just wrap your arms of love around them? Brother, Pastor Carter preached from his heart this morning. He wasn't just preaching a good text or a good verse. But if you know your preacher, you know he was preaching about that empty seat because that was what's in his heart. So you pray for him. Let's pray for him right now. Can we do that? We'll pray for him and Miss Carter and pray for the message, and we'll get into it. Dear Jesus, I bow before you. And God, I pray tonight for this church and, Lord, the folks that are hurting in this church, our dear brother over here whose wife unexpectedly went into eternity. God, I pray tonight. Oh, God, I pray that you'd come and, Lord, just surround him with your presence. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd bring such comfort in his heart. Lord, that you'd help him and his family. God, you'd meet their needs. God, I pray for these others in the church who have lost loved ones recently. God, especially tonight as we think about what we did today, Lord, the whole Hill family, Miss Bonnie, Lord, every one of them, the extended family. But God, tonight I lift up my preacher and his wife. And God, I pray, Lord, that you just comfort them and help them. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would do a work in this church and this people. God, we know that you do all things well. God, I thank you that there's never a mistake that you make. Lord, your timing is always perfect. Though we may not understand it, we may not know all the hows and the whys, God, I thank you that tonight we can trust you. God, as preacher preached about that empty seat, God, I pray that you would raise up some folks that would fill those seats like Brother Herman. God, I pray tonight as I preach your word, God. Lord, I don't want to just take time, but God, I want to be a help. God, I want you to help us. God, I pray that you'd help me. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your power, dear God. Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts. God, I know it's summertime and folks are gone. But Lord, there's people here that need to hear from heaven. God, there's people here that I know that you desire to do a work in their heart and their life. And so, God, I ask you that you'd use me in such a way that you'd be able to do that work. And Lord, tonight in the midst of summer, God, I pray that you'd stir revival in our hearts. God, that you'd do such a work that when we leave here tonight, we'd all be able to say it was sure good to be in your house. I'm glad I didn't miss church tonight. And God, we'll give you the glory for it. We'll praise you and we'll thank you. We ask all these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter number 9 tonight. I want to read a lengthy portion of scripture. And the three thoughts I'm going to preach to you, I want you to know that it's not just an outline, it's not just a message, but I want you to know I want to share my heart with you as a pastor. I'm not your pastor, but I'm a pastor. And I'm thankful that when God calls a man to pastor, he gives a man a pastor's heart. I don't believe he gives every preacher that pastor's heart, but I believe he gives a pastor a special love for people to try to help them. And that's what I want to be tonight. I want to be a help to you. Acts chapter number 9, let's begin, and if you would, reading with me in verse number 10. It's a familiar passage, but I ask you to do this. Will you read with me and pay attention on purpose? And as we read, would you allow God to speak to your heart? Would you read this passage with me? Maybe as though it was the first time you ever read it. How many can remember when you got saved the first time you really started reading your Bible? And I mean, God began to show you things and began to reveal things that you never saw, you never knew before. Boy, there was such excitement there. And you couldn't wait. You just had to go tell somebody, look what I found. And they look at you like, that's always been there. But you didn't care. You're just so excited. Would you treat this passage that way as we go through it? Look with me, if you would, verse number 10. The Apostle Paul, Saul, before he got saved, he's on the road to Damascus, and he gets born again. Thank God for that. Look at me in verse number 10. That's where I want to pick it up. The Bible says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way that thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Verse 23 says, And after that many days were fulfilled, that the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gate day and night to kill him. Verse 25 says, Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. We'll stop reading there, and we're going to turn in our Bibles in a little while, and we'll look at some other passages of scriptures. But in this passage in Acts chapter number 9, we have several things that we find here. Number one, we find the conversion of Paul. He was Saul. He got saved. He got born again. And old-fashioned, by the way, an old-fashioned conversion truly does make a difference. Amen. We find the calling upon the Apostle Paul's life. God is calling him. He's a chosen vessel. God's going to do a mighty work. He's going to do many works through this man named Paul. We find, I think about this, by the way, it's not just any call, but this is a holy calling. If there's any young men in this room tonight that are called to preach, and maybe you say, well, I'm just a teenager, I'm just a young man, I haven't been trained, I hadn't went into the ministry, and I've got other things I may want to do, can I say something to you? Listen, hey, don't take lightly the calling of God upon your life. It is a holy calling. In Galatians 1, verse 15 and 16, Paul says this, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. He didn't have to go talk to anybody. He didn't have to get a survey. He didn't have to get approval of others, but straightway, immediately he goes. He didn't have to talk. He just went and started doing what God called him to do, preaching the gospel. In Acts 9, straightway, that's what he does. He goes and preaches. So we find his calling. But then also in this passage, already, isn't it amazing? It's in the very same chapter, we find the salvation and conversion of Paul. We find the calling of Paul. We also find a conflict in Paul's life. There's conflicts. Can I tell you and remind you tonight that when this sinner got saved, when Paul got saved, all of hell began to tremble. I believe that. You say, why is that? Because, listen, far too often we don't realize, listen, just how much the devil knows and how much power the devil has. And sometimes we forget, listen, whose side we were on when we were lost. Though we may not have said, well, I'm on Satan's side. Listen, we served the God of this world before we got saved. And when old Saul got born again, listen, hey, hell lost one of his soldiers. Amen. And I believe all of hell trembled because I believe they understood God had his hand on this man for something special. On that day, listen, hell lost a soldier. He was on his way to persecute the church, but on the way, God made a change. Can you remember that change God made in your life the day you got saved? My friend, listen, when you got saved, listen, you and I, we obtained enemies that we never knew we would ever have. Why? I think about old Curtis Hudson. I think about him, the last message he would ever preach, standing and doing all he could do to hold on to the pulpit and stand up as his body was riddled with cancer. He wasn't thinking about death. He wasn't thinking about what was waiting. But listen, he got up and before he preached, he sang, I'm on the winning side. Why? He realized he was a winner either way. No matter what happened, he was a winner. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus. Then there's something else we read in this passage. We read about his companions. Can I tell you, listen, look here with me, if you would, in verse number 23 in our passage. Verse number 23, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Immediately, listen, they wanted Paul killed. Look at the next verse, verse 24, but their laying await was known unto Saul. Saul knew that they were coming for him. Saul knew they want him dead. Saul knew that they were waiting. And if he went out the gates of the city, that listen, he was as good as gone. Look at verse number 25. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Notice in verse number 25, we find no name mentioned. You say, who are these disciples? They are who I would define as Paul's companions. Yeah. His companions in the ministry.
Can I tell you, these men, these I believe there was probably even ladies involved in this. These brothers and sisters in Christ, they meant something to Paul. They became part of Paul's testimony. Amen. Hey, it meant so much to the Apostle Paul. These disciples that are not mentioned in verse 25 had a special place in the Apostle Paul's heart and life, so much so that in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 33, it would become part of his testimony. He would say, and through a window in a basket, I was let down on the wall and escaped his hands. Why? Because of some unnamed and unknown disciples. This is what I want to preach on for a few minutes tonight. In verse number 25, it says, then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. I want to preach and title the message this. Why don't we just be some basket bearers? Be some basket bearers. You know, we're living in a day where everybody wants their name on the marquee. Everybody wants their name mentioned. Everybody wants to be known. I was talking to Miss Herron about this and talking about Dr. Herron, one of my heroes in the faith. I can imagine some of the things him and Brother Hill are talking about in glory. Amen. Some of the things that they were able to see God do. But listen, I want you to think about this for a minute. We were talking with Miss Herron about our society and my generation of Christians and the generation of Christians that's in the church today. And I said, our problem is we become so self-centered. We don't want to do anything or serve anybody unless it benefits us. Oh, I want to be in the limelight. I want the preacher to mention my name. I want my name. I'm not going to work a bus route unless my name's on that banner back there on the wall with my number beside it. And I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that. You say, oh, preacher, you're meddling now. No, I've got proof for it. If we were to collect all the cell phones in this place tonight and begin to go through the pictures, I would say that, listen, we would probably at least have the same amount of selfies as we do pictures of other things. You know what selfies are? They're a testimony that we're self-centered. All the goofy, by the way, if you really looked at them things, you'd quit posting them all over the internet. I'm thinking, man, that's goofy right there. I don't want nobody seeing that. That's the kind of stuff my family does to me and I don't know about. But I'm not, Brother Bunch, I'm not taking that picture of myself and putting it on there. I got more common sense and respect for myself to do that. I've got enough family to embarrass me without me helping them. Amen? But we're living in a self-centered society. The church is becoming self-centered. I'm not saying Lambert Baptist Church. I'm talking about as a whole. The church has become self-centered. Well, I don't want to have a part unless my name and my picture and everything else. But in verse number 25, there were some people that surrounded themselves around the Apostle Paul that we may never know who they are. Oh, preacher, when we get to heaven, God will reveal it to us then. I preached a funeral a couple years ago for one of the men in our church that died so unexpectedly, a special man in our church. And we were talking. I was talking at the funeral and talking afterward to people. And I said, well, I don't know why God did what he did. And I don't understand it. But listen, when we get to heaven, when we get to heaven, the Lord will explain it. God will reveal it to us. And thank God for a gray-haired saint of God that corrected me. This man of God come up to me and he said, Brother Stanley, he said, Pastor, he said, can I just remind you of something? And he wasn't being disrespectful at all. I said, yes, sir. He said, do you think it's really going to matter when we get to heaven? Well, he made me look about that small, feel that small. I got thinking, you know, when I get to heaven, only thing that's going to matter is us getting around the Lord. Amen. The one who redeemed us, it's no longer about me, and I want to know, and I need to know, and I deserve to know, and I deserve this, and I deserve that. The truth of the matter is, if we got what we deserve, we'd be in hell instead of heaven. So tonight, I want to look at these disciples. I only have a few minutes, three quick thoughts. I want to share my heart about just bearing somebody's basket. Can I say this? We don't know who these people are. But I submit to you tonight that when it comes your turn and my turn to get in the basket like Paul had to get in the basket, do you think, just think about this for a minute. Here, Paul got saved. God has just revealed to him, called him, I mean, done a wondrous work in him, amen. I don't know that Paul understood the extent of how he's going to be used, but I wonder what would have happened if Paul said, bless God, I ain't getting no basket going down that window. I'm not going out that way. Hey, I'm the preacher. I'm called of God. I'm going out that gate. You see, he wasn't too prideful. He had some discernment already. He had some wisdom about him already. And I suppose probably some of the people that let him know were some of these disciples that aren't named. Hey, Paul, you can't go that way, brother. Brother, you go that way, they're going to kill you. Brother, listen, think about what you're going to do. Let's pray about this. Can I say this? When it comes your turn and my turn to get in the basket, you'll want somebody to be there. You'll be glad somebody was there to hold the rope for you, amen, as you go down in your basket. Tonight, can I say this? Listen, we lost one of those rope holders last Wednesday. Brother Hill's one of those rope holders. His name didn't have to be on the marquee. His name didn't have to be on the door. His name didn't have to be mentioned. But if you knew him, he was just a humble man. What was he doing? Oftentimes, listen, he'd hold the rope for his preacher. He'd hold the rope for his family. He'd hold the rope for his community. He'd hold the rope for the church. Listen, he was just an old rope holder. He was bearing people's baskets. Now listen, we understand, listen, Paul wasn't forsaken. He wasn't left alone. We know that the Bible says that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. But church, listen, Paul was not without companions. He was not without the brethren of Christ. He was not without fellow family members in the family of God to help bear his basket. So I want to ask you this question. When I thought about this, this convicted me. I thought about this. Who's in my basket? And what am I going to do with those who get in my basket? So I want to ask you this question. Who's in your basket? Tonight, is your Christian life more than just about you? Or do you have a heart of a servant? A servant's heart. Well, you realize this Christian life isn't anything about you, but it's about Christ and others. Amen. I ask you this question. Could it be that person in your basket that God has for his will for your life? Could it be that it's a babe in Christ, a new child of God, a new convert? You see, during the time that we read about here in Acts chapter 9, Paul being let down in this basket, he was a new convert. The very same chapters where he gets saved. I've experienced this in our church and in my ministry. It don't take too long for somebody to get saved that they become so self-righteous they forget about what they were saved from. All of us. We've got new converts in our church, and I tell our folks this, I've said this here before, I love new converts. I love them. I wish I had a church full of them. Why? Because they get saved. Think about when you got saved. Boy, you're just ready to serve God. You didn't know what you're going to do or how you're going to do it. Boy, you just want to do something for the Lord. But yet, if we're not careful, there'll be people in the church. Think about Ananias. Lord, I've heard much things about this man. Lord, he's got authority to kill us. But Ananias, he's a chosen vessel unto me. Yes. I've got some orders for you. If you'll just be obedient to me. We don't find this in the Bible, but I believe this. I believe that Ananias will be credited. He'll have rewards for souls saved through Paul's ministry. Yeah. Why? Because he had a part in Paul's life. We've got people in our church that's been saved 6, 8 months, some of them a year. And we've got people that have messed up lives. And I've had people come to me and say, now, preacher, are you going to let them do this in the church or let them do that in the church? I said, well, listen, if we judged everybody on what they did or did not do in the church by what they were and who they were and what they did before they got saved, none of us, including me, would do anything. Why? Because we're all just sinners saved by grace. I had somebody come from another church, sit down in my office. because we got this man that's more faithful than just about anybody in our church, but is messed up, but he got saved. And I had somebody else that has family in our church come to me and confront me about this man and what I would and would not let him do in our church. I said, number one, sir, your name's not on our roll, so it's none of your business what he does or does not do in our church. Amen? And by the way, can I remind you about Jesus when they come to that woman and they're all picking up rocks ready to stone her, and Jesus said, you that is without sin, cast the first stone. Matter of fact, I figured this out, preacher, how to stop that conversation. Sir, if you don't mind, hang on 1 minute. Brother, come here for a minute. There's somebody that'd like to talk to you. You know why? Because I found this out. That kind of crowd ain't going to go talk to them to their face. They're going to talk behind everybody's back. Can I say this? That kind of talking, that kind of living isn't helping a new Christian. I asked some of the folks, I said, listen, instead of you coming to me with your concerns and your worries, can I ask you, have you gone to the Lord and prayed for this brother, this sister, this family? Have you talked to God about it? Have you asked God to give you grace to be help to them? You know, here there was some disciples that weren't tearing Paul down, weren't being critical of Paul, but they were just bearing his basket. Why? Because he was a babe in Christ. He was a new believer. I think about our new little baby, Olivia Gray. She's the prettiest girl you ever seen in your life. She's perfect. I mean, she smiles. I say, do you love Daddy? And she nods. I say, is Daddy the best daddy ever? And she nods. Tammy said, she can't control her neck yet. She ain't telling you yes. I said, be quiet. I believe what I want to believe. You believe what you want to believe. But I think about her being a baby. We're very careful with her when we lay her down. We don't pick her up and throw her like we do the boys. We're gentle. Why? Because she's a babe. When's the last time you were gentle with a babe in Christ instead of rough and harsh and mean, critical? You see, he just received Jesus, and immediately the devil and his army set out. They want him dead. It's interesting to me that the fellow brethren didn't throw Paul to the wolves, but instead they said, Paul, come this way. We've got a basket ready. We've got a rope ready. Paul, get in the basket. We're going to lower you down the window in this basket. Listen, they held the rope for him. They helped him escape those fiery darts of the devil. Can I say this? Instead of us being so hard on folks, we ought to just do some review of our lives. Amen. I don't know about you, but I thank God for people that held the rope for me when I was a babe in Christ. I thank God for those that didn't turn their nose up at me and said, you're a liar and you're a deceiver and you were this and you were that. I thank God the night I got saved, there were some people that came and put their arms around me and said, brother, I'm so glad you got saved. I'm glad my preacher put his arm around me and said, I don't know what I would have done if I got to heaven and found out you weren't there. When's the last time we treated a babe in Christ that way? It could be there's a babe in Christ in your basket. By the way, I believe it's God's will that every one of us have a babe in Christ in our basket. We're to be reproducing ourselves. It may be that God desires to put a child of God, a newborn babe, in your basket. Number two, it may be God's will that you be bearing the basket for a hurting child of God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11. I quoted to you verse 33, but I want you to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, we find another place about the basket experience in Paul's life. In the latter part of this chapter, Paul is sharing with the church all the suffering that he went through for the cause of Christ. And by the way, he wasn't complaining. That's not what, we don't find Paul complaining. In the latter part, listen, Paul begins to share with us, look at me in verse number 24, this list of things. By the way, if we begin to complain, we ought to come here, mark this chapter in your Bible, and come here and just lay yourself down beside Paul and his sufferings and see how we compare. Right. Look with me in verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. Can I say, after just two verses, a lot of us Christians probably would have said, I quit. I'm done. But he don't stop. He's not done. Verse 26, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. Can I say this to you? This morning, I believe, or this evening, Paul was carrying not only his own burdens, but he's carrying the burdens of the ministry. He's carrying the burdens of the church. Look on with me, he says in verse 29, who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who is offended? I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. Now, to us, humanly speaking, we say that's just insane. Why would I glory about my infirmities? I believe because Paul remembers what he was before he was saved. Amen. He says here, he says in verse 31, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. He's saying, I'm not exaggerating. God is my witness. He knows my heart. I don't care what you think about me or anybody else thinks. All I care is that God knows my heart. Amen. He knows that I'm being honest with you. He says here in verse 32, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascus with garrisons and desirous to apprehend me. In verse 33, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. What I find in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 is I find a hurting child of God. So many times we look at the Apostle Paul and we say he was 10 foot tall and he was bulletproof. I mean, he was a man's man. He could handle anything. I mean, he was so tough. He went to every jail of every city ever went into. And I mean, he was able to sing and praise God and bless God. He was unbeatable. He was unstoppable. Can I say this to you? He was a man just like you and I, made of the same flesh, had the same heart, the same soul. He felt the same hurts, the same pains, the same lonelinesses that we feel. He experienced all of those things. During the time, listen, during this time here, through all of his sufferings that is mentioned, the last thing mentioned was the fact. I find it interesting. Paul goes back to that time in Acts chapter number 9 where he's lowered through the window in a basket. And it's interesting again. I find no names. I find no names mentioned. His fellow brethren aren't mentioned by name. Can I remind you, just because a servant of God, a person is a faithful servant, doesn't mean they live a life of ease and free of pain and free of sorrow and free of heartache, free of cares and free of burdens. I'm not saying this to lift up my preacher. But none of us, including myself, will ever know the burdens he carries. Oh, but you're a pastor, you know. No, listen. He's on a different level. What do you mean? He has way more people, way more responsibilities, way more ministry. Right. Well, I could tell you all about my sufferings. I could tell you all about my burdens and all my cares and all my hurts. But Paul's not telling us about all these things, so we'll say, poor Paul. Poor, poor Paul. Saying, I glory in it. And while he's glorying in it, there's folks that had part that we may never know their names, that bore his basket. I think about people. Did the people that lowered Paul down in that basket, did they know what God had in plan for him? Did they know and understand the hurt and the pain, the burdens
the cares that he'd have to go through and he'd have to carry? Did they know? I don't know. But all I know is that when Paul needed them, they were there. Amen. Can I ask you tonight, who's in your basket? Could be a babe in Christ. It ought to be. But then also, we ought to have a hurting child of God in our basket. Why? Because there's coming a day when you're going to be hurting. You're going to hope that you have somebody to carry your hurting basket. I look across this room and there's people like that that I know. Oh, they don't go around and tell me, let me tell you what I did for so-and-so, and let me tell you what I did for preacher and Miss Carter, and let me tell you all the things I do for God, and let me tell you just what a great Christian I am. No, normally those people that are bearing somebody's basket, they're not going around publicizing it. Why? Number one, they don't have time to. Amen? Can I say this tonight? I've got this burden on my heart for my people, our community, for your church and your community. I believe that, listen, as long, and preacher, I hope I'm okay in saying this, as long as people show themselves in church, we'll care for them. And as long as they're able to give to the building fund and the mission fund and the offering and this fund and that fund, and we'll make sure we cater to them. Boy, let them get to a place to where they can no longer bear anybody else's burdens. And it's almost like we just cast them to the side. I'm thinking about our nursing home ministry in our church. I have to beg people, will you go to the nursing home with me? The nursing home, I was there Monday, and the director said, Brother Stanley, we have an opening at 2 o'clock. Every church that we had on Sundays quit on us. It's not profitable, and they don't get the people, and they don't get the numbers. But preacher, there's something different when y'all come. The director told me this, said y'all care about people. Said the people weep when you're here. They weep when you leave. Preacher, I saw you praying with that dear sister over there. Preacher, I didn't think anybody would care about all she's going through. Preacher, I saw you pushing that dear lady to her room. And do you know her daughter? She just had to bury her daughter, preacher. She's broken. She said it's as though people don't care. Brother Hill's in heaven. But he has a wife that probably won't get a walk through those doors a whole lot anymore. And I'm not being mean. Please don't think I am. But could it be that God wants us to bear a basket for some of those dear saints of God that have been bearing baskets all their life? But now they don't have the strength and the health to bear any more baskets. And I challenge you, listen, would you go to Haines City Healthcare and would you visit? You've got church members down there. Would you ride out there and see Miss Bonnie? There's people I don't even know that, listen, the only people they probably see are people that are on pastoral staff. And you ought to thank God you got a pastoral staff that bears the basket even when nobody sees. But you know, it'll mean a whole lot more to them people when they see a face they haven't seen in a long time come in and just say, hey, I'm praying for you. I just want to stop by and say hello and I love you. By the way, preacher, have we lost our love in the church? Where we know, it's almost like we get shunned or looked down if I say, Brother Bunch, I love you, brother. That breaks my heart. The world is in love with the things of the world, and God's people can't even show and tell others that we love them. You know something about Brother Hill? Brother Hill, every time I'd see him, we'd be about to go and leave, and I couldn't stay with him no more, and he'd always put his arm around me and hug me and say, son, I love you. You know, just that right there meant more. Listen, if he had nothing to offer me, that would be all that I wanted. You know why? because he never had to say it, because I always knew it. I always knew he loved me. And he didn't just love me, but listen, he loved so many people in this place. And he'd show it because he'd bear your basket. We got to be careful as a church that we don't get so busy and so wrapped up in busy work that we forget about those that are hurting and can't help themselves. There are some disciples mentioned in Acts 9. We don't know their names, just disciples. But they're bearing the basket for somebody who's hurting. Thirdly, they were bearing a basket for a choice servant of God. A choice servant of God. You say, well, of course, everybody knows him. He's Apostle Paul. Do you know he's a choice servant of God? And he's a choice servant of God? And Brother Bunch is a choice servant of God? And Brother Harvey, who's not here tonight, he's a choice servant of God? You see, we're not choice servant of God just because we made our names in the Bible or we're a nationally or internationally known preacher and we preach this conference and that conference. But listen, if you've got a call of God in your life, you're a choice servant of God. Amen. He's chosen you for a special calling. You say, preacher, why are you saying all that? Here's why. I believe that God intends for every born-again Christian to be bearing a basket for a choice servant of God. I know I'm using Brother Hill here, but listen, he was an example of a basket bearer. That empty seat, who's going to fill it? Who's going to be the one Sunday morning that gets to the door before a preacher gets there? You say that's such a minor thing and such a minute thing. No, listen. It meant so much to preacher that preacher noticed whenever it didn't get done. Why? Because he knew there was always somebody that was always a step ahead of him going before him. Because he wanted preacher to know that would be one less thing you'd have to worry about. Before we moved to Georgia 6 years ago, our last service I preached on Sunday night. And I remember Brother Congdon come up talking to me, so many folks, but Brother Hill come to me. He waited till everybody was gone. He didn't want nobody to hear, didn't want everybody to know. He didn't want to say, look at me. But he come up and he hugged me again. I love you, son. He said, what is there that I can do for you? I said, Brother Hill, I said, you can pray. He said, all right. He said, but if I'm going to pray for you, he said, I want to know specifically how. And I said this, I said, Brother Hill, here's how you pray. Pray that God would give me some families just like yours. He said, oh, stop. And I said, Brother Hill, I'm being honest. Pray that God would send some families to our church. We'd reach some families just like your family. And you know God has answered that prayer. He sent us people just like him. People that when I'm down and I'm out and I try not to show it, people that come to my office on Monday and come in and say, preacher, they walk right around my desk and I'm okay with it. They come and they just hug me and they say, preacher, I don't know what you're going through, but I know you're carrying a burden. I just want you to know I love you. And I'm praying for you. Do you know that does more for me as your pastor than if they're to walk in and give me a $1 million check? Why? Because I know I'm not bearing my burden alone. I know there's others, listen, that are holding the rope for me. Can I ask you this question? We get so busy, so many things going on. All of us are in preacher's basket. But I wonder how many of us have preacher in our basket. How many of us hold the rope for preacher? Amen. You say, how do we do that? I can give you a list. Number one, be here every time the doors are open. Just be faithful. Number two, pray for them.
Preacher, I don't know what he's going through. I don't know all the details. You don't always have to know. But just know that just like Paul had folks that wanted him dead, there's a devil that would love to see him die. They'd love to see, the devil would love to see Dr. Mickey Carter removed off the scene here in this earth. Do you pray for his health? Do you pray for Ms. Carter? Do you pray for his family? Pray for his son and his grandchildren? Just bear his basket. And that don't mean you've got to be in his face all the time. That don't mean just before Sunday morning he's about to preach, you got to come and try to flatter him with all these kind things. And I just want him to know that he's in my basket. No, listen. Nobody has to know but the Lord. But I submit to you that if he's in your basket, you know it and the Lord knows it, he'll know it without you ever coming and telling him, preacher, I got you in my basket. I'm holding that rope. You see, there's hurting people all around us. There's babes in Christ all around us. It's so easy to, boy, I just wish them new Christians, they dress right. How long did it take you before you started dressing right after you got saved? I'm for dressing right. But I'm also for showing them love and grace, caring for them and telling them why. Why is this important? Well, in trying to reach their families, those that are hurting. At our church, we got some ladies that go around, they joke. Every time I get around them, I know they're gossiping. They think I'm joking, but I know they're gossiping. And here's what they say. Well, preacher, we're just sharing our prayer requests with one another so we know how to better pray. They're just trying to make gossip spirituals all they're doing when they say that. We've got a lot of folks in our church hurting right now. We've got a lady, I've been on the phone, not trying to be rude, even at the supper table, a dear lady who, I mean, it's as though Satan has unleashed all of hell, and I mean, she's faced one attack after another. She found out her grandchildren have been being abused by a man. She found out that one of her daughter-in-laws is about to die. She found out that one of her daughters is strung out on drugs and found out that she's threatening to take her own life. And she's the only spiritual, solid one in the whole family. And she broke down and told me Sunday morning as she's sharing with me another bad report of something that she never knew. And she's shared it with me. And she said, preacher, I just had to get that off my chest. I knew you would hear me. And I knew that I could tell you without you telling everybody else. Then she said this. I knew you'd pray for me. And I don't understand why my family's going through all I'm going through. Why I've got to face all this. Preacher, I know God has a plan. And he's able. She texted me tonight and she said, preacher, God's hearing your prayers. God's answering, God's doing things that everybody said would never be able to happen, but he's doing it. Preacher, God's doing miracles in my family. Well, it broke my heart. I wouldn't be there for her tonight. I wouldn't be there if she stood and gave a testimony and said, church, God's so good to me. Church, I've been through a lot, but God's good. She said, preacher, I can't wait to get to church and brag on God. Hurting people. You say, how do you explain all that to the church? How do you give all those requests? I just said, one of our church members, our brothers, sisters in Christ, needs us to pray like we've never prayed for him before. Well, preacher, how do you want me to pray? Just go to God and tell God you know the need. Lord, would you just meet it? Preacher's carrying burdens tonight. You never know. Who's in your basket? Church, can I say this? I'm done. I'm just sharing my heart. But I'm burdened for all those young people that sang in the choir. Why? Because I'm witnessing it in the ministry that
just because we got a crowd like that singing in the choir don't mean that their heart's right and they're wanting to serve, but sometimes they're just going through the motions to make us think everything's fine. But inside, they're broken inside. Listen, they're going through things inside. They're having thoughts of suicide inside. They're having thoughts that we would never imagine they're having. And as a pastor, it's so easy for me to get frustrated and say, I'm just tired of it all. Tired of dealing with them. They're not sincere. But then I get thinking, if I give up on them, who's going to bear their basket? Well, if we as a church say we're just going to quit on them, who's going to pray for them? Who's going to put their arms around them and say, I love you? You know why? Because there's some kids that sat up here and sang tonight that probably will go home and will never hear mom or dad say, I love you. I'm praying for you. They need a church full of people that will bear their basket. So my question to you tonight is, who's in yours? Will you bow your head with me? I'm sorry for preaching as long as I did. But I'm burdened tonight. And I wonder tonight, would you get a burden? Would we quit being so busy that we don't have time for God and others? Maybe tonight we just get on the altar and say, God, give me a basket to bear. God, help me to be able to carry somebody else's burden. Will you stand to your feet with me? I wonder why heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many here tonight would say, preacher, God's dealt with my heart this evening. Preacher, will you remember me when you pray? God's spoken to me about some things in my life. You remember me when you praise or something like that, you just slip your hand up. That's me. And all over the place. I'm going to pray for you now. After I pray, why don't you come and get on an altar? It'd be good on the middle of a summer Wednesday night for the whole church family to get on their altar. There's folks that are hurting. There's new Christians, babes in Christ. There's choice servants of God. Why don't we do business with God tonight? Father, I love you. And God, I thank you for loving me. And God, I thank you for putting people in my life to bear my basket. God, I pray for me. Lord, help me never to lose that burden for people. And God, I pray for these tonight that slipped their hand up and said, that's me. God's spoken to me. God's dealt with me. God, I pray tonight they'd come. And they just get on an altar, dear God. Lord, I pray they would stay there until you give them a burden. You give them a basket to bear. And Lord, that you'd bless in this invitation. God, I pray if there'd be somebody here that's lost, that don't know Christ tonight, they'd come and they'd get saved. Father, I pray that you'd bless and have your will now, your way in this invitation. In Jesus' name. The music's playing. The brother's going to sing. Oh, preacher, I'll do it another time. I have